had a little bit of snow. It was just a little bit. But Savannah, boy, Savannah didn't know what, I mean, they didn't know what in the world hit them. I didn't realize, but I mean, just about every city in the southeast has a little stockpile of salt and slag. The foundry that I used to work at, we used to, the byproduct of the iron, they'd skim the iron, was slag. And they'd sell the byproduct just as well as the product. And man, we didn't have none of that. Sand, I mean, they're still complaining about downtown not having sand on the sidewalks. And I'm thinking, you poor thing. Yeah. Tell them, Miss Edie. Tell them, Miss Edie. Preach it. Okay. I was getting ready to turn the corner, but Miss Edie just, she got, thank you, Miss Edie. Amen. I know it. So Savannah was shut down. They ain't seen nothing till tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I mean, and nobody going to be answering their phones. Jesse, tell them. I mean, they're going to be glued to the television. Is anybody in here? I just wondered, is there anybody in here who has tickets? Bob, do you have tickets to the game tomorrow night? You wish you had. What was it? I think somebody said $12,000 for just. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. Is anybody in here going to be pulling for Georgia tomorrow night? Anybody pulling for Georgia tomorrow night? Melissa's not even raising her hand. Are you going to watch the game, Melissa? All right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 20. Last week we watched as Philip was where God wanted him to be. We heard the angel give Philip directions, and Philip followed the directions, and he went where the angel told him to go. We saw by Philip being where he was supposed to be and listening to the directions of God that God used him to witness to and to win a man to the Lord. As a matter of fact, we saw a very unusual occurrence. We saw, if you read the rest of the chapter, Philip, who was a deacon, he was not a priest, he was not a preacher. Philip was a deacon. What did Philip do to the Ethiopian eunuch? He baptized him. That's exactly right. He baptized him. God used him in an unbelievable way to bless and to be a blessing. You were all challenged last week after the message to win just one person to the Lord this coming year. Just one. Y'all lift one finger in there. Just one. Just one single person to the Lord by following the directions of the story of Philip, the deacon we saw last week. Now this week, y'all pay attention. I'm going to turn the page here. This week, I want to tell you why most Christians in the world will not win not one person to the Lord this year. Listen to me. Or ever. This morning, I want to tell you why Christians across the world, Christians who have professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who love the Lord and the Lord loves them, but these same Christians will never win anybody to the Lord this year or ever. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to think to yourself, how long have you been saved? How many people have you won to the Lord? Should it be that way? We have seen in Scripture that the disciples were gazers. That they were gazers. They had a gazing problem. We've seen groups of people who were called scribes and Pharisees who were totally blind. The fact is that both groups of people were missing something that hindered their ability to be all that God called them to be. The disciples until the day of Pentecost had no faith in themselves or that Jesus would empower them. He had told them, listen, after I die, I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to empower you through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to do things you never thought you could do. The Pharisees had no faith in Jesus at all. God, through Jesus, had commissioned both groups. Yet both groups did very little. How can that be, church? How can that be? today, we're going to deal with a third group who were missing out on the fullness of God's blessing, those who had no faith. No faith. Now, do you know that it's possible to see Jesus and have no faith? To experience the fullness of Jesus and have no faith? It almost seems impossible, doesn't it? But it's quite possible. We're going to look at a very familiar person this morning as we consider and understand that we're missing out on something. So turn it to John chapter 20. We're going to start reading verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. But one of the 12, Thomas, called Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger in the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will," say it, "never, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said this, listen, Jesus said this, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed." Let's pray. Father, we come to you again, Lord, asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we pray that you would be with us right now. God, we need your help to understand what's taking place here. Lord, we are an infallible people. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. Lord, I pray that you would remove all distractions from around us. You would just calm our nerves, calm our hearts. Lord, keep us settled during this time of message. Lord, that we might be able to hear everything that you want us to hear this morning. That we might be better creations as we walk through our doors to our mission fields here shortly. To do what you've called us to do. You haven't asked us. You've commanded us to do some things. And Lord, we need to understand why we're not doing it. Lord, thank you for this day. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, the man who would not believe was Thomas. He absolutely would not believe. Thomas's actions proved he had no faith in God. Had Thomas not just walked with Jesus for 3 years of his life? Had he not seen everything that Jesus had done? And yet we see him at the precipice of this scripture this morning saying, I will not believe, I'll never believe until I put my fingers in his hands and my hand into his side. But church, as I read through the Old Testament, I'm dumbfounded at the groups and numbers of people who will not believe or have no faith in God after God has revealed himself in unbelievable ways. We look at the Hebrew children who saw God physically work time and time and time and time and time again, and they would not fully trust in God. In the book of Exodus, chapter 7 through 14, we see God turning rivers into blood. We see a plague of frogs. Now, we go crazy when the little no-see-ums and the mosquitoes go out of here in Georgia. Could you imagine seeing a plague of frogs? Just out of nowhere comes a plague of frogs. The river out by that we all enjoy all summer, and it turns to blood. Could you imagine a plague of lice? A plague of flies? This was a good one. God really outdid himself when he did this. All the animals in Egypt, the Egyptian animals, they died, but the Israelis, the Hebrew children's animals, they lived. So the Egyptians' animals, they died, and the Hebrew children's animals lived. That's pretty good, isn't it? But he didn't stop there, church. In chapter 7 through 14, we see another plague, a plague of boils, a plague of hail, a plague of locusts. we saw 3 days of total darkness. The sun never came out. That's pretty impressive. God is really showing off, is he not? But then we see the death to all the firstborn in Egypt. Not the Hebrew children, but in Egypt. You think by then, the Hebrew children would have an untamable faith in God. That they would see the hand of God, they had seen the hand of God, and nothing, Angie, nothing from that point on would ever shake their faith. They would be hardcore God followers no matter what. But God wasn't done there. Abby, he took it a little further. The Hebrew children finally were released from bondage, finally able to leave Egypt, and they walk to the Red Sea. They see this impassable sea in front of them, and God says, Moses, go out there and stand and stick your staff in the water. I'm going to part this sea. And they walk through on dry ground. And I've told y'all this, especially in my Wednesday night class when we were going through Journey Through the Bible. The remarkable thing about this is that the Hebrew children left Egypt is estimated, Gary, between 2 to 3 million people. The timeline that elapsed when they walked through there, scholars estimate that it had to, the parting of the Red Sea wasn't like parting the aisle right here or parting two pews. The parting was between 2 and 3 miles wide to get that many people through in that time frame. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's God. If you saw that, would your faith ever be shaken again? Would you not just have unbelievable faith in God no matter what? Nobody could tell you, listen, I believe in God. I've seen all this stuff. I've experienced it. But something happened. You get to chapter 17, and we see these same people showing their lack of faith in God. We hear them. We hear them. Missou, we hear them. Oh, would be to God that you would have just left us in Egypt. We're out here, and we don't have water. We've been walking, and God did all this, but now he's not going to give us water. Oh, just let us die right here. Oh, sounds like crying Christians, doesn't it? And not much has changed. Oh, why has God just forsaken me and left? God never did leave them or forsake them. Then he had manna fall from heaven. They were hungry. 2 to 3 million people, Dan. 2 to 3 million people. And he had manna fall from heaven. And by the way, I think that's chocolate-covered Krispy Kreme donuts. Just my estimation. Deliciousness. And after a while, Miss Janelle, we're tired of this manna. We want some meat. Sounds like Southerners, doesn't it? So we gave them meat. But they were never satisfied. Their faith was always rising and falling, rising and falling. Could it be a worst-case scenario where God's people had no faith in him? Church, I believe the case of Thomas was much worse. I really do. I believe the case of Thomas was much worse. You see, Thomas did not have faith that God raised Jesus from the dead. And by this, why would he ever follow his directions to witness for the world? Do you remember Jesus had given them just very specific directions? But Thomas, listen, why would Thomas follow any of his directions if he didn't believe God had raised him from the dead? He wouldn't. He had no faith. Now, please, do not feel that Thomas was alone in feeling this way. I'm sure he was but one of many. But what makes his case worse than those of the Hebrew children? Well, he was a Jew. Thomas was a Jew. And the Jew knew Old Testament scriptures concerning the coming of his Messiah. They knew backwards and forwards. Listen, they didn't have a copy of God's Word like we do. And we become lazy at times because we do have a copy of God's Word. You know, I had a student one time when I was a youth pastor, and he asked me, he said, Brother Kyle, he said, how many scriptures do you have memorized? And I honestly couldn't say. I mean, I never tried to sit there and count, but after I was, you know, asked that question, I went back and I didn't have nearly as many memorized as I think I should have. Church, these Jews, they memorized Scripture. They knew it. They knew the Torah backwards and forwards, like some Southern Baptists know the Constitution and bylaws. They knew it backwards and forwards. They knew everything about it. Listen, Thomas knew Isaiah 7:14, prophesying of the virgin birth. He knew Isaiah 9, chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, how the Messiah would bring light out of darkness. He knew Isaiah 50, verse 6, where Jesus would be scourged and spat upon. He knew Isaiah 53, 3, where Jesus would be rejected and insulted. He knew Isaiah 53, 5, where Jesus was pierced for his own for our transgressions. He knew Psalm 16, 8 through 10, Psalm 49, 15, and Psalm 86, 13. Thomas, the Jew, knew of the resurrection. He knew of it all. He knew it was written about. But where we see him today is standing, saying, I will never believe until I can put my fingers in his hands and put my hand in his side. I will never believe. Church, Thomas was missing out on the blessings of God because he did not believe, church, in the written word of God. Well, you just said he didn't have a written word of God. Well, he had the Old Testament. And he had memorized it. And it was right before him. And he wouldn't believe it. Is this sinking in yet? Y'all pretty much know where I'm going now, right? Why is it that people who profess to be Christians don't do what God has commanded them to do? You know, he didn't ask you to be a witness to the world. He commanded you to be a witness to the world. Listen, it ought to be laughable. It ought to be just hilarious, Dan, that last week the pastor of Chevis Oaks Baptist Church challenged each church member to just win one person to the Lord. There should have been somebody in the congregation that laughed, just stood up and said, one? One? How insulting. One? I'm shooting for 10. I'm shooting for 50. I want to win 100 people to the Lord Jesus Christ next year. But one? And I think it's a doable thing. I really do. Thomas was missing out on God's blessings because he did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. He saw everything, but his action showed he did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. Old Testament scriptures pointed towards Jesus, and Thomas did not believe. Jesus' birth pointed him to the Messiah, and Thomas would not believe. The miracles that Jesus performed in the sight of Thomas proved that Jesus was the Messiah, yet Thomas would not believe. His intimate teachings proved that he was the Messiah. Jesus preached, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be killed on the third day, I'll rise again. Yet Thomas would not believe. Thomas doubted because he did not believe the words of Jesus. Not only did he not believe the Old Testament scriptures, but he saw Jesus do everything he did, and yet he didn't believe. He didn't believe. He could not believe. Church, Thomas could have missed out on all the blessings of God. Church, understand this as well. Thomas was missing the blessings of God because he was not where he should have been. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, but one of the 12, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had told all of his apostles to be at a certain place at a certain time, and where was Thomas? We don't know. We really don't know. Scripture does not tell us where he was, but it does tell us that he was not where he should have been. And last week's message, that was the very beginning. Christians, you need to be where God called you to be, or you're not going to be of any use to him. Where it is, I don't know where God's called you to be. I know where God's called me to be. He's called me to be in Savannah, Georgia. Well, I don't like Savannah, Georgia. Well, you're going to have to take that up with God. You know, don't take it up with me. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like where I am. You're going to have to take that up with God. Don't take it up with me. God put you there, and he put you there for a reason. Listen, Thomas was missing out on a blessing also because he was not where he should be, but should have been. He missed out on seeing Jesus the first time he revealed himself to his disciples. He wouldn't have had to wait the longer period of time? Had he been where he was supposed to be? Had he not returned to see Jesus and seen Jesus with his own two eyes? Church, understand this. Others would have missed out on the blessings of God as well as Thomas. He had a very specific purpose for Thomas, just as he has a very specific purpose for each one of us. And that purpose is other people. It's witnessing to other people. And if Thomas never came back, he never would have been any service to God. He never would have been any use to God. Church, Thomas had a purpose. As we look through Old Testament history or New Testament history, we understand that Thomas evangelized an island called St. Thomas off the coast of India. He had a purpose. Had he not come back, had he not listened to God, had he not seen Jesus again, where would those people have been? Now, how does this apply to me? How does this apply to you? Just about done. Pay attention. How does this apply to you? Church, we have the same directions given to us that Thomas was given. Now listen. The same directions, Alec, that Thomas was given, you're given. Bill, you're given. Joey, me, Amy, Deborah. Hey, listen, even Donald. Ricky Tyre, Michael Hall, Dan Roth, Michelle Roth. Hey, listen, we're all given the same directions. Laurie, Jesse, all of us are given the same directions Thomas was given. Tell people what they have seen and heard. We are to be a witness. Listen, again, he didn't ask us to be a witness. He told us to be a witness. And if you're a Christian, if you have the love of God in you, if you have really been transformed the way the Word of God says God will transform you when He saves you, you wouldn't have to be asked. You'll want to. You can't contain it. You have to tell the world what Jesus has done for you because you are changed. And you don't want to go back to be the same person you were. You've got to tell it. Why are we not doing this, church? Look out the doors. Look at our Jerusalem. Look at our Jerusalem, where this church is located. Look at our Jerusalem. Is it not worthy of our witness and our testimony? Oh, they don't need to be witnessed to anymore. Can we drive through Ogeechee Farms and say, oh, listen, all these people have Jesus. We don't need to do anything. How about Savannah? Oh, Savannah has enough Jesus. Hey, listen, they're great. Hey, we have a cathedral downtown, right? I mean, they don't need Jesus. I don't know what parts of Savannah you've been going to, but just about every part I've been to needs Jesus, needs more Jesus. How about our state? Does our state need Jesus? Our nation doesn't need Jesus. Lord, we're going with a new president. Hey, listen, we're going back to Christianity and back to God, right? Church, we do not believe in the reliability of Scriptures as Thomas didn't. If we did, we would know who we are and who we belong to and how we are to serve. Thomas didn't believe in the reliability of Scriptures, neither do we. Listen, we don't believe Jesus was the Messiah and much less that He was raised from the dead. We can't. If we really did, we would be following the directions that He gave us and Thomas. Church, listen. The proof of our unbelief is that we are not winning souls for the Lord. Let me break it down a little more. We are not comfortable doing what God commanded us to do. I told y'all this last week. I've told y'all this many times. I don't feel comfortable talking to people about Jesus. There's something wrong with that. That ought to be the easiest thing you have to talk to people about. But I just don't feel comfortable. You're talking about the light of the world came into your life, transformed you, and you don't feel comfortable talking about it? He changed your life, and you don't want to tell somebody? Hey, listen, I am not a superhuman Christian. I'm not patting myself on the back. I promise you I'm not. I'm really not. But I don't understand. Evidently, Jesus didn't change you the way he changed me. I was a liar, a chief, a thief. I was a drunk. I was a whoremonger. I would do anything to get attention from people, and I loved doing it. But when Jesus changed me, he changed all of that. He changed my mouth. He changed my head. He took my hair, but he changed my head. He changed my thought. Listen, he changed me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And I want to tell other people about Jesus. I have the same command that you have, that we all have. Church, if you will not follow Jesus, just like Thomas, you're going to miss out on the greatest blessings God has to offer. I don't know how you're living. And we're Americans. We're all living good. But it can be better if you follow Jesus. If you do what God has asked you to do. Well, Brother Kyle, I see a lot of these disciples, they followed Jesus and they died. Rightly so, they did. But do you understand? I can't imagine a greater way to die than dying for the Lord. Can you? To take your last breath knowing that you just served God, died in the service of the King. Can you imagine? Church, God has called all of us to do the same thing. Are you willing to do what God called you to do? Will your strength and your faith grow in the Lord? What's hindering you? I don't know what's hindering you. I know what's hindering me. Me. Will you follow the Lord this year? Now, I remember last week I challenged you, one person. One person in 2018. Witness to one person. Listen, win one person to the Lord. Well, Kyle, I can't talk. Call me. Nobody called me this week and said, look, can we go over to Joe Smith's house and talk to him about Jesus? I'll go. Listen, let's go. Are you willing to have faith in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ for all that he's done for you and win one person to the Lord this year? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, during this invitation, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Remove the blinders, remove the binders, Lord, remove the chains. Remove anything that helps us to see ourselves in a great light. Lord, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. God, you've commanded us to be more than what we are. Help us to reach that in 2018. Help us to be what you created us to be. Help us to be on fire for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, this is time of your invitation. If you need to come, will you come?